Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri. Here are this week's scripture readings and the sermon.
A reading from Proverbs. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her animals. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servant girls. She calls from the highest places in the town. You that are simple, turn in here. To those without any sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live and walk in the way of insight. The word of the Lord. Let us read the psalm responsively. Fear the Lord, you saints of the Lord, for those who fear the Lord lack nothing. Come, children, and listen to me. I will teach you reverence for the Lord. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from lying words.
Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it.
A reading from Ephesians. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood, abide in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. In this fourth week of reading through the sixth chapter of John, the church encounters a question that has been festering for quite a while. In short, what are we talking about? Or, to the point, what is Jesus talking about? To the uninitiated, it sure sounds like cannibalism. To the Jewish community of the first century, it's reminiscent of the sacrificial systems. And to followers of Jesus, this is quite another thing from either of those. For those who tend to read Scripture very literally, taking the plain sense of the text, of just what is written before us. This is a very troubling passage to hear. And what I find myself thinking about as I ponder what is being read to us is that it's more akin to being, well, a young person. Whether today or any time in the past, perhaps there is a tendency to develop ways of talking about things so that other people don't quite understand what you're talking about. We call it slang, right? And in slang, part of what happens is, well, it takes words that have a very normal meaning and then infuses them with a whole new other kind of meaning. And every generation has its own slang. In fact, if we want to date ourselves, we use our slang from 40 years ago, and people look at you and go, wow, you are old, right? That's my world. But the reality is, professionals also develop their own kind of language. We talk about that as jargon. Almost every profession, every business community has its own jargon. And if one does not know the jargon, one is often lost. So that slang or that jargon is a mechanism also for sorting who's an insider and who's not. When I'm meeting with a new group or I'm in a new community, as I have been this past 3.5 years, I'm just starting to learn things like, what is VAC? And what does, well, we can go through the whole list. There are all these things here that I don't know because I'm new to town. And I don't understand what people are talking about as I hear them talk. And if I ask, well, either people are happy to tell me what it means, but I always feel kind of dumb. Or sometimes they're kind of reticent about breaking the code for me. Decades ago, my friends and I had developed a similar code. In high school, we thought using that code, we hid our plans from our parents. Perhaps each of us can think back to using language in a similar way. At the same time, as I noted earlier, various professions do this. Acronyms, right? Acronyms and specialized language and particular definitions that are for that professional group specific. But it sure makes outsiders of everyone else. And a church? I remember reading the itinerary for the day that I was to come and visit St. Andrews and meet the people of this congregation. And it said something about gathering and meeting with the congregation in the centrum. And I was like, what does that mean? And I had thought, well, centrum, it must mean kind of a central gathering place, right? So I thought, oh, that must be what they call the narthex. And I was trying to wrap my head around how we would have that meet and greet, Bible study, and so forth out in that space with probably no amplification and all of that. And then we got here and said, oh, no. We have a microphone set up for you up here in the front. This is what we call the centrum, what other congregations might call a nave, but this doesn't look much. Well, I suppose it could look like a barge. But, you know, most churches have that look where it's like a ship turned upside down, or the sanctuary. But I didn't know the language of this place. What has been emerging in this teaching from Jesus is a real insider language that confuses those who are on the outside. As I noted earlier, for many, what Jesus is describing sounds a lot like cannibalism. In fact, to this day, people who are outsiders to the church offer that kind of a critique. They believe that followers of Jesus are committing themselves to some form of ritual cannibalism when participating in Holy Communion. In the first century, when the temple sacrifice was a major part of the religious observance, good Jewish people might have heard this same discussion about eating the body or flesh of Jesus and drinking his blood as akin to ritual sacrifices at the temple in Jerusalem, or worse, the sacrifices at any number of other temples. Some that come to mind might even practice human sacrifice. In both cases, there is a deep misunderstanding of what Jesus is talking about. The words that Jesus is using speak about loyalty concerns for insiders among his followers. Molina and Rohrbach call this use of language anti-language in their social science commentary on the Gospel of John. They say that to eat Jesus' flesh and drink his blood is synonymous with the words to welcome, accept, receive, believe into, and the like. The call is to welcome and accept Jesus even with and despite his being lifted up on the cross. To be sure, his crucifixion is a scandal. It is an offense. It is contrary to the victory that the larger culture expects. Accepting, believing in Jesus despite his apparent failure is central to our faith. Jesus continues to violate the norms of expectation in his culture and in ours. Jesus continues to announce a realm that is grounded in love, in forgiveness, in life. Remembering Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus, where he noted that God so loved the world that God sent his only Son, so that all who believe will not perish but will have eternal life. Here Jesus persists in offering eternal life to all who welcome him, who accept him, who receive him, who believe into him. Then Jesus goes on to say that he did not come into this world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe are not condemned. Jesus and the author of John have set up this anti-language to open a space for those who believe and act on the belief. To this day, welcoming Jesus turns the world upside down. Welcoming Jesus challenges human tendency toward tribalism, toward racism, toward sexism, toward all the ways that humanity tends to hold their own culture as superior. Such challenges bring conflict, and sometimes those conflicts are violent. Yet Jesus calls his followers to a different way, a way of compassion, of love, of merciful care. May St. Andrew's, as a community of faith, live into this way of Jesus Christ today and every day.
Thank you for listening. You are welcome to join St. Andrew's Lutheran Church in Columbia, Missouri for worship any weekend. More information can be found at standrewslutheran.org. That's saintandrewslutheran.org. Have a glorious week.